This is Totally Cool Tech, the show that brings you the hottest in cool technology. No matter if it's old school or new school, high tech or low tech, it's all still cool tech. Welcome, everybody. This is the Totally Cool Tech Podcast, edition number 507, Busted, for Sunday, December 5th, 2010. I'm Norbert Davis, your host. Hey, on this episode of Totally Cool Tech, we have St. Nicholas Day and I Got Busted and a few other cool things. Totally Cool Tech is a proud member of the TechPodcasts.com network. If it's tech, it's here, where you will find shows that are family-friendly and work-safe. We're also part of the Blueberry.com podcast community, where podcasters and listeners all come together. That's Blueberry without the E's. So please go check out these sites for other great podcasts. All right. Hey, you know what? It is December 5th, and in the German tradition, it is also St. Nicholas Day. And being German, that's why I know. I used to celebrate with, at least my family used to celebrate by putting a shoe in the window. And what would happen was, back in the old days of Germany, there was St. Nicholas, and he would give gold coins to the poor children, and I guess all the children in his area. And that's kind of how St. Nicholas, St. Nick, came to be. And there's other forms of Santa Claus, but what we would do is we put our shoe in the window, and our parents, who were Saint Nick at the time, would go ahead and put some gold chocolate coins, if you've ever had those little chocolate gold coins, and some fruit and things like that, maybe a little toy. And that's something that tonight I get to do for my children, is I get to do that, and my mother loves to do that too, so she's going to do that tomorrow for them as well. As we have to go over and see her. But anyway, I thought I'd just, give you a little bit of Christmas German tradition thing there. If the busted part about this, I got busted this week. The Black Friday sale that was going on, I think it was Newegg, that I bought a monitor, a 21.5-inch Acer monitor for like $98, something like that. I actually got the deal. It was great. I love it. Also got a HDMI switch as well. And apparently the wife didn't like that I got that. Now, this was my money I had earned on my own doing some other stuff. And so it was, purely my money to spend, and I did it on myself. Because nobody wants to buy me geek gifts, My family doesn't really like to do that. They'll give me maybe a Best Buy gift certificate or something like that, which is pretty cool. I like that. That's really sweet. But they won't buy me gadgets or things like that because they don't really know what to get me. Oh, I don't know what to get him. He probably wouldn't like this. I'd like all sorts of stuff. If they go to ThinkGeek, which I've told them every year, go to ThinkGeek. You can probably find something really cool for me there. Anyhow, got this thing, and I guess the wife didn't like that I did that, so she confiscated it and will be putting it under the tree. So I wasn't able to, it came Wednesday, and I'm thinking, oh, this is cool. Well, it got taken away, and now I can't get it till Christmas. Oh, well. But hey, so I got busted. No big deal. All right. Let's go ahead and just jump right on into today's Totally Cool Tech. We have, for the first thing up here, Google is looking to talk. And I guess this is from Engadget here that I found this. Google has acquired a speech synthesis outfit called Phonetic Arts. Now, Phonetic Arts is at the Cambridge, England-based company. And Google's looking to make its products, I guess, have better speech synthesis is what these people do. So, I'm wondering if they're going to be using this, trying to get this into their phones, or is it going to be something with their products that, your Gmail and all that kind of stuff, and will it all of a sudden have like a G reader that will go ahead and read your actual emails for you on your phone? And is it going to be on your computer? It's going to be interesting that they got this thing. So I'm wondering how they're really going to use this, but it's going to be interesting because Google always does something interesting. I don't know. The company's own Mike Cohen is hoping that this will help move them a little bit faster towards that Star Trek future. And when you can, you know, talk to the computer and all that kind of stuff. So maybe it's going to be for some integrated home computer system. I don't know. Maybe we're all going to have Google computers or something like that. Interesting. Okay, what else do we have here? Oh, yeah, this was cool. Over from Daily Tech. And if you were paying attention on Thursday, it looks like NASA has announced that they have discovered a radically different life form that could survive on a hostile alien environment. And it's right here on Earth. And of all places, it's actually in Mono Lake, California. And this one organism is able to live without phosphorus. And one of the interesting things is that to date, all known living organisms require phosphorus to survive. It's actually part of the backbone of the deoxyribonucleic acid, or DNA, that forms the essential energy storage molecule, endosterone, triphosphate, ATP, and provides other functions in organic chemistry, things like that. And this is really interesting that it uses, it has taken what normally would, you know, a cell or bacteria or whatever would use phosphorus. It uses arsenic. It can actually use either or. It doesn't matter. It can switch. So it can probably live it does live in a very hostile environment, but it could probably live on another planet. So this is kind of interesting, and they're saying that, you know, this stuff might be all around us all the time. We're just not seeing it because, you know, they're very small and hard to find. So that is really, really cool. And they think that life may exist in the Earth's fiery hot mantle, maybe in our outer atmosphere or on a dry desert. So this is really, really kind of cool stuff, though it wasn't the announcement that a lot of people were thinking of, that maybe they were going to say that, hey, we found some life form or some evidence of life form on another planet. You know, most likely would have been Mars, but that would have been really cool. All right. If you are like me and you are waiting for the movie Tron Legacy to come out, well, if you got $55,000, you can have yourself your very own Tron light cycle. This thing is awesome. This motorcycle chopper manufacturer, it's actually a custom shop. It's called Parker Brothers. No relation to the game Parker Brothers, the game magnet Parker Brothers. But it's Parker Brothers Choppers, and they announced the availability of a $55,000 Tron light cycle that is street legal. That is hot. And the bike features a steel frame, fiberglass bodywork, and a V-twin engine from a Suzuki TLR 1000. And there's actually some video of this thing. I checked it out. It's pretty cool. Thing does not, you know, corner like you would expect. It really looks kind of clunky as far as making turns, but going straight, it looks pretty cool. And the bike weighs like 474 pounds and is just over 100 inches long and 23 inches wide. The rider sits about 28 and a half inches off the ground. And, the thing actually looks really, really cool. So, you know, it's like right out of the movie, Tron, you know, the new one, the Tron Legacy, which I believe it's December 17th. I'm going to be there. I think I'm going to go to the midnight movie on that one and check that one out. That ought to be pretty darn slick. So anybody out there going to be going to Tron? I'll, you know, if you're in the Elk Grove area of California, you might see me in line. So if you see me in line, say hi. That'd be cool. All right. Next up, PlayStation phone has been captured on a nice clear video. I believe it's been captured before, but someone has been able to manage a good video of the PlayStation phone, and I think that's called Zeus. the Zeus Z1. That's kind of probably a working thing right now, maybe a code name or something. But it's pretty slick. It's a slider phone, and when you slide up, you have the controller pads, which is pretty darn cool. And the user taps on the PlayStation icon, which loads up the PS library. And once there, it says on this screen, it says that there's no content items available. It looks pretty cool, and it looks to be running, they say, Android 2.3. And they're probably going to sell a ton of these. Now, it's going to be made, obviously, by Sony Ericsson. But this ought to be really, really slick. I might give Apple a run for the money, though I'm not really sure about that, you know. Do you want a gaming phone? I don't know. I don't want to know. Why would I want to play video? Well, I guess you could play video games on your phone, but I would think that the battery life would just, you know, die real quickly. I just had to recently replace the battery in my phone, my BlackBerry Storm, the first version of the BlackBerry Storm, and the battery was just dying. I mean, I'd go online, download some tweets and things like that, maybe get my email, upload a picture, video, or, you know, a picture to like Twitter or whatever. My phone would be dead in around 30 minutes. So just bought a new battery for that. And then today, the wife and I were out with the kids and getting some lunch, passed by a Verizon store, and we saw the buy one, get one free Droid, which is cool because I'm thinking about getting the Droid X, and she has the Palm Pre, and she's like, well, if you're going to buy one, get one, you know, maybe we ought to come back tomorrow, which we're dropping the boys off at my mother's, and yeah, we're going to go out looking at a phone for the both of us. So stay tuned. I told you I might be getting that Droid X, and it might happen today, or, well, for me tomorrow, for you today, or you maybe last week, or anyway, because it's a podcast, this could have been a year ago, who knows. But December, is it 5th? Yep, December 5th, 2010. All right, next up. Hey, how would you like to have a TSA body scanner home game? It's the home version of this. Well, I guess someone has come up, a hacker, a real-life hacker, Jerry Ellsworth. She was curious about how to do this, so she built her own version of a TSA scanner by modifying a satellite dish antenna horn. You know, the LNB three horn thing that you'll see on top of someone's, you know, house for their dish antenna. Well, she took one of those things and hacked it to go ahead and give some faint definition of, you know, people and all that kind of stuff. So it was pretty cool. And I guess she was able to modify that three-horn array, and it can penetrate a layer of sheetrock to show what's underneath. So it's not quite yet, you know, the TSA scanner version, because the feds spend like $150,000 on theirs. But, you know, and it's got different frequency wavelengths and all that kind of stuff. But wouldn't this be cool and to have at a party or something like that, you know, or just... mess with your friends. I thought it would be kind of cool. So if you want to check that out, have that over here at Device, and we'll have the link for that. It's pretty darn cool. And they have a microwave handy scanner, TSA body imaging at home video, which pretty funny. All right, next up, the Kinect invisibility hack. This thing is so cool. It's like going and creating yourself into Predator from the movie, how he's kind of got that active camo or something from Halo, and the active camo that they have there for, what is it, the elites or something like that. What happened was this coder, is what it says here, is coder Takeyasu. I don't even pronounce the last name, because if I pronounce it wrong, it will definitely revoke my clean tag that's on my audio here. So anyway, this one guy figured out a way to replace his image with an invisibility cloak when viewed through the Kinect's eyes, or video cameras, really. The way it works is, what he's doing is, by using a software hack, and I guess that was, he went through the, what is it, the Open Frameworks software, and he applied a copy of the background image onto the shape of his body as he moves around the room. And it's a really cool effect. Like I said, something like in Predator. Really, really slick. And there's a good video for it. Check it out. It's really, really interesting. I don't know. That thing would actually be cool to kind of see something like that happen. I wonder what kind of games you could do with that. I don't know. It's an interesting hack, but I don't know how practical it could be, but who cares? You're hacking, you know, the Xbox Kinect. It's fun. Okay. I ran by this story today, and after looking at the Motorola Droid, and my wife's maybe interested in the Droid too because it has a slide-out keyboard, and she likes a keyboard. A gentleman was sent to the hospital because his Motorola Droid exploded on his head. He was making a phone call, and supposedly the screen blew up, and it caused his ear to bleed, and needed a couple stitches. And yeah, that is pretty darn interesting. Now, it was the new Droid 2, which, you know, okay, the wife might be looking to get that one, but yeah, come on, this is a rare occurrence. Probably really couldn't happen again. And I don't know, it basically blew up, cut his ear, and he didn't realize it at first. You know, he heard a loud pop, then after a little bit, he kind of looked at his hand because he felt something running down it, and sure enough, it was his own blood. Now, he had to go to the emergency room, you know, get some stitches and all that, and apparently Motorola is looking into this to see what's going on. You know, you kind of wonder if it was a self-inflicted wound, or, you know, a user error caused, you know, problem. You know, had he been, you know, beating the phone up or something like that. I mean, there's a picture of the phone. You can actually see the blood and the crack screen and all that. So, I don't know. You know, was something going on? Was it a bad phone? Did he do something to it? Is there some sort of, you know, inherent defect to this Motorola Droid? Well, we'll find out soon. I'm sure that either there's going to be some hush money going on because there's a problem, and Motorola doesn't want you to find out about it, or they'll find out that, you know, I don't know. Anyway, interesting. All right. Now, I'm talking about, you know, super secret cover-up, anything like that. The Air Force has their X-37B space plane come back from a seven-month-long orbit around the Earth. Now, it did all sorts of things. Supposedly, it was just doing some navigational testing and things like that. It doesn't take 7 months to work out how, you know, a new spaceship works in orbit, and who orbits for 7 months. What this thing is, it's about 29 feet long. It's like a little mini shuttle that the Air Force has, and I guess it was going to be a NASA device or a NASA craft, and the military took it over. And it's unmanned. It takes off. I guess it's set in the nose cone of an Atlas rocket and put up into space. Now, this is the what do they call it? The OTC. I think it's not like over the counter, but oh gosh, yeah, I can't remember what it is there. Anyway, they have one of these things. They're going to launch a second one here in early 2011, spring of 2011. Yeah, it's the Orbital Test Vehicle, OTV. They're looking to get a second one, and this will be interesting to see what, find out exactly what these guys did with this thing, and it might come out later on of what maybe this is going to be used for. Probably deployment of military satellites. Could be used to take up, say, a really really sensitive camera that they can go ahead and take good video, or maybe even, you know, infrared images to get through clouds and stuff like that of, you know, our neighbors and so forth. I'm sure WikiLeaks will have something on that here in the next month or so. So be looking for that. So this is going to be really, really sweet. And it took off out of Cape Canaveral, Florida, but it landed in Vandenberg Air Force Base here in California. So this is going to be really, really slick to see what they do with this thing. And it's interesting that they had guys go up to this vehicle dressed in like these weird suits. It says there to, you know, they did that because there might be some rocket fuel or something like that. You know, they're bringing back an alien or something like that. It's interesting that this thing came down on the 3rd, which would have been Thursday, and then NASA talks about some life forms that are here on Earth that are acting and that are odd. I bet there's something related there. Anyway, oh, hello, Rusty. How you doing, buddy? Rusty, the podcasting wonder dog, has made his appearance. And there he goes again. Thank you very much, buddy. All right. Here's something that I really don't have any use for, but I thought maybe you would, because maybe you have an iPhone. How would you like to charge your phone with no solar? Because what if you have a really, you know, cloudy day and you don't have any solar, but you want to use some sort of green energy to charge your phone? Well, you can use this. It's the iFan that goes on your iPhone. It's kind of got a like a rubbery silicone case that slips over the iPhone, but it charges your iPhone with wind power. It's got a little fan hooked to it. And I went to the link on here. I found this via device, but went to the person who actually did this, and I don't know where he's from, the Netherlands. So I know I would just really mess up his name, and I don't want to do them any injustice. But he came up with a way to attach this first thing was a computer fan to charge his iPhone. This is pretty cool because you can use it almost anytime, anywhere. And he also has an idea to go ahead and hook this up to your bike so that you could go ahead, you know, while you're riding your bike, being green, you're charging your unit with just a fan, you know, so you can, you know, take it off your bike, can leave it anywhere where there's, you know, wind blowing and all that. I thought that was really kind of cool. It's a concept, really, but actually it looks like he made at least one good looking prototype, and I'd be really interested to see how he gets that going and if he's able to take that thing anywhere. He's also done a whole bunch of other things, so check it out. This guy's a designer, and he's a 3D design and interior and exterior designer from the Netherlands. So check that out. All right, here's one that I thought was really cool because being in the Marine Corps, any kind of weapon is cool, and I'm a guy too. So this is the XM25 weapon system, and it's the first ever programmable smart grenade launcher. And it's called Smart Launcher, and it's called Smart because the shoulder-mounted weapon uses microchipped ammunition to fire 25-millimeter air-bursting shells up to 2,300 feet out. And this is well past, you know, the range of, you know, most rifles. And the XM25 is then programmed to it programs these shells to explode at precise distances. And this allows for neutralizing, I love that, insurgents behind walls, rocks, trenches, and even inside buildings. I mean, this changes the game so much because in any kind of firefight, you know, you want to hide behind something to protect yourself. Well, this weapon takes that protection out of the game. Basically what it'll do is got a laser range finder, and then you set that thing to go just a little bit beyond that range, programs the weapon, programs the ammunition, and it's got to be some sort of calculation that it says, okay, you know, you got a velocity of this, and we know how fast and how far you're going to go, and after this much time, explode. And basically it's just, you know, throwing an explosive round that just as it gets past that one point, it will explode, and you can actually you know, I love it. Neutralize your targets from, you know, protected location. That is awesome. And they're actually deploying this in Afghanistan right now. So this will really, really be an interesting game changer. And I wonder how far this is going to go, how hopefully, you know, for our troops, American troops, this is a good thing for them, for their protection and for any kind of work they got to do. Got to love it. I geek out on that. All right. You know, that, I think, yep, that is going to be it for tonight. So I will keep you up to date on my endeavors as far as getting a new phone. If I get a new phone, I will definitely let you know because I will definitely be playing with it. And I intend to go ahead and give you some more reports and more. Hopefully, I'm going to get some more video up here pretty soon on the ZI-8 Kodak that I have and the stabilizer that I did. I'm going to give you I got to give you a review on that Kodak. I love it. As a matter of fact, it's been real fun, real easy to use, real handy, and I think you would love to have one of these. Now I got a refurb unit. And I've been checking them out, and they're going for about $90 or less, you know, maybe less than $100 for sure online. And that's for the refurb units. And if you don't want a refurb, you know, get a brand new one with all the warranties and all that kind of stuff. But if you, you know, are a little bit of a risk taker, go for a refurb unit and see how you like it, you know. I'm sure if you, you know, you use it within that brief time frame, you can return it if you're not satisfied with it. So depending on where you get it. So check that out. I'll have more stuff up there here on the blog here pretty soon. So, all right, everybody, that's going to be it. I want to thank you so much for go ahead and tuning in and listening to us. And look forward to any kind of feedback you would have for me. I love getting your guys' feedback. You can either, you know, get a hold of me through the mail or the email, I should say, tctpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, TCT Podcast fan page. You can get me on Twitter. Just look up TCT Podcast or look up my regular one, my personal one, Norb Tech. And yeah, give me some feedback. Give me some what's your coolest thing that you're giving as a gift that's tech related this year. What are you hoping to get, you know, this year for Christmas that's tech related? And are you going to go to the Tron Legacy debut on the 17th? I plan on being there. All right. I think the next show, which I don't know if it'll be for a Wednesday release, but at least be next weekend, is going to definitely be my Geeks Christmas list for 2010. So take a listen for that. So that'll be exciting. I got to get all my stuff lined up here, and we'll have that out for you. So, all right, everybody, that's it. I will see you next time.